Welcome to Season 2, Episode 18 of Des Moines Backstage, the Central Iowa Theater Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Bolkart. I know we've been away for a few months, and I want to apologize to all the amazing productions that we missed. I know I saw some good shows in the past 3 months, and I hope you all have as well. Today, we talked with some of the cast, as well as the director of Iowa Stage's The Christians, which opens Friday, April 13th at the Des Moines Social Club's Come and Go Theater. Get your tickets. And now, let's go backstage.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines backstage.
Backstage.
Des Moines backstage.
Des Moines backstage.
Des Moines backstage.
The Central Iowa.
The Central Iowa.
The Central Iowa.
Theater podcast.
The Central Iowa Theater Podcast.
The Central Iowa Theater Podcast.
Des Moines backstage.
The Central Iowa Theater Podcast.
Des Moines backstage.
Des Moines backstage. The Central Iowa Theater Podcast.
Okay, welcome to Des Moines Backstage, the Central Iowa Theater Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Bolkart. Today we're sitting here in the basement of the Come and Go Theater at the Des Moines Social Club with the cast and director of The Christians, which is presented by Iowa Stage Theater Company, opens on Friday the 13th, correct?
Oh, I forgot about that.
Is that bad? Yeah, knock on wood. Well, hey, let's go around the table. I guess we don't have a table. We're all doing this from a different recorder than usual. So let's just go around the room and have you guys introduce yourselves.
Maxwell Schaefer, director.
I'm Kim Hames. I play Jenny in Congregant.
I'm Michael Klinkscales. I play Associate Pastor Joshua.
Ed Barker, I play Elder Jay.
I'm Jonathan DeLima. I play Pastor Paul.
And Sean Wilson's also here, but he's not in the show. He's just hanging out. Jonathan, last time we were in this room together, we were recording the very first episode of this podcast.
I think that's right.
So that's kind of exciting.
Unfortunately, I was also a pastor in that play.
You were. That was for, what was that? That was the Stage West show. What was that called?
Hand to God.
Hand to God. Yes, I like that show a lot. Well, Max, this is a show, obviously, it's called The Christians. Give us just a little synopsis of what the show is about. And anybody can join in on this, too.
Well, essentially, it's about a pastor of a megachurch who makes a declaration during his opening sermon that breaks the traditions of his faith, and then it kind of unravels a little bit, and we find out how everyone involved in the church responds to the choice that he's made.
Interesting. Let's hear from each of you just about your respective characters. I guess we'll start with Jonathan, since you're the quote-unquote leader of the church.
That's a more apt introduction than you may realize, because part of the journey of the pastor in this play is what does it mean to be a quote-unquote leader, and what does it mean to be an actual leader, not just one in name. He is, like I think all of the characters in the play, well-meaning, really looking out for and trying to make the best world possible for everyone he possibly can. And he has seen this church grow significantly and quickly over the last 10 years in particular. I mean, from a church of tens to a congregation of thousands. So he feels both responsible for and excited about the reach and his hopes for this congregation and this church going forward.
And what do you bring to the role as far as your own maybe experiences in religion or... Or lack of, just out of curiosity. Since you have played pastors twice now, clearly there's something in you that calls to
almost
that.
Almost the exact same role.
Yeah,
that's right. You were in that too.
Well, yeah. I've made the puppets.
Yeah, right.
So we. Yeah.
This is actually, it's funny. This is a very, very different approach, or very different kind of scenario. Even though, yes, both of these characters are pastors. This is a very different. Kind of scenario. I grew up going to church and was involved, you know, with youth programs and choir and all of that with most of my family. So, and I was very fortunate in that it was a great church, great people, it was a really, really great weekly place to be.
Cool. Let's just go around the table here. Ed, do you want to tell us a little about your character while I learn how to speak?
It's all right. I can't speak either. So I play Elder Jay, and he's been with the church as long as the past, at least as long as the pastor has. So he's been a very huge supporter and on the board of elders. He knows that he can be, that the pastor can be straightforward thinking, and but he's behind him, and yet he feels like a father figure to him as well too. He's seen him grow with this church, and in terms of my religious backgrounds, I belong to different denominations of churches throughout my life, so that experience in a modern setting is kind of interesting too. But he doesn't want to go down with the ship that the pastor is may have to do himself. With dug his own grave, you know.
Mm-hmm. So there's a little conflict there, then.
A little. But out of everybody, I think I'm probably the most supportive of him.
Yeah.
But I just want him to see what he's doing to this church, that is all his work.
Right, going down the drain.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you have something to
add? I'm going to just jump on. This is one of the things we talk about a lot in this process. I would argue it may not be going down the drain. It may be changing. It may be shifting. It may be rebirthing. But Pastor Paul, I think part of his journey is trying to figure out, in context with everyone else's experience, the reason and the propulsion for his pursuit.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily sound like it's a bad thing, whatever it is. I guess you're not going to spoil the actual announcement.
No.
That's all right. So we're going to talk in depth about something that has yet to be named. That's okay. Michael, tell us about your character, if you would.
I play Associate Pastor Joshua. And Joshua is probably one of the youngest in faith and also in the church, at least in the leadership sort of position. His own background with religion isn't really there until he arrives at this church, having found himself lost, kicked out of his family, and kind of found this church as a new home. And so when he found this church as a new home, just was really, really involved with it, super, super zealous, maybe a little overzealous sometimes in spreading the message of this church to their surrounding community. But as a result, he's got great personal relationships with most of the church, most of the members of the church. He does a lot of youth outreach, does work with youth group, and really has a good personal connection, which is kind of hard to find sometimes in these types of mega churches.
Totally.
And we see how his connection with the congregation kind of differs in some ways from that of the other leadership, and what that means when we reach these conflicts and there are the different ideals on different sides, these different ideas and approaches to the conflict. My own history with religion and with Christianity and churches, mega churches. My dad actually was an associate pastor at a church that was involved in a church split. And as a result, my upbringing is not nearly as similar to the associate pastor, but probably a lot more akin to Pastor Paul's upbringing. Mm-hmm. Coming up in the church, maybe not having as much of that that idea of the adult conversion kind of thing that is so present in Joshua's life and his whole life view. So that's been really cool for me to be a part of this show, just because I've seen so many different pastoral styles and I've seen so many different ways that people talk about the Bible and people evangelize, and it's been really cool to kind of to play with this script that does such a great job of really just depicting what a schism in a church can look like, without really taking sides or belittling the religion in any way, shape, or form, which is great.
Great. Yeah. When I first was reading about this script, I was thinking, oh, it's going to, you know, it's a theater play about religion, so it's probably going to bash on religion, which from the sounds of it, maybe doesn't.
It's
it got a review from the Christian Science Monitor and the New York Times, both favorable reviews. How many times has that happened for a
play? I would say very rarely. That's good, though. That's good. And that I think will, you know, I would venture to say a lot of our maybe season ticket holders are also kind of churchy people. And I would think doing a play like this might be controversial and maybe shy some of them away.
I think it's compelling because mm-hmm. everybody who is in a church setting, no matter what denomination, no matter how conservative or liberal they are, they're going to find a story that they can latch on to. And I think people that are agnostic are going to be fascinated by the dynamics of how belief system affects relationships.
Right. People that have maybe never been in that setting.
Right.
So it might actually do more good than harm. How about your character, Kim?
So I play Congregant Jenny, who really, she's a single mom, and she has, in my opinion, been with the church from not the very beginning, but for a long time, and it's been her family, essentially. Mm-hmm. And they've helped her through really difficult times, and she's very just, I don't know. She's attached, and she has this very difficult time when Pastor Paul delivers his sermon, and there's a small fracture, I would say, that probably happens within the congregation that she struggles with greatly. One of my favorite things about this show is that, yes, it is about faith and it is about religion. But I don't think you could tell this story and it could be about any change in belief. It doesn't have to be. And so to the agnostics out there, you know, that aren't necessarily in line with any specific faith, it's a tale about what happens when you have a major change in belief, mm-hmm. which and the effects of that and the outcomes of that and how that, you know, affects your family, your friends, your people who believe in you. And so that's what I took away most reading the play. I also found myself switching back and forth. I'm like, yes, absolutely. I am in line with Pastor Paul. And then later I'm like, oh crap. But also Pastor Joshua has a really good point. And so I think it's a great conversation starter. And I think that everyone who comes will have an opinion and will want to talk about it, which is what excites me about theater.
Great. And for me, at least, religion is one of my favorite things to talk about, just because I feel like everyone has something to say about it, whether they're super for it or super against it. And usually that comes from their own experience. So I think mm-hmm. everyone that comes to this, and correct me if I'm wrong, it looks like the audience is sitting where the congregation would be.
Yep.
They are the congregation.
So, yeah. So do you sit out there?
Okay.
Yes. That's super cool. The set, by the way, looks amazing. It's super fun. And so I know I'm definitely going to come see the show. When you're sitting there as both audience and congregation, you're going to feel like the pastor's literally preaching. I mean, you're probably going to feel like you're at church.
Yep.
Honestly.
Well, that's the fascinating part about this show is every actor, every character turns around and preaches a little bit to the audience as they try to maybe gain consensus with their point of view or perhaps just to tell their story. So even when scenes don't technically take place at the pulpit,
right,
they are still played out at the pulpit in front of everyone. And so that makes it a theatrically fascinating. Mm-hmm. And of course, the fourth wall is broken from the get-go. And so when you come to this, you know, you're gonna feel like maybe you're part of this whole thing that's going on.
You're involved in the situation
absolutely.
Of the church. That's super cool. That's super inviting. I like mm-hmm. that a lot.
So I think there's a plus that makes it inviting, and I think that'll calm people's trepidation mm-hmm. with being at a spiritual or a Christian show or something. They're part of it, so they have an investment in it as much as we do.
Right. I think it's cool that is the script written that way, that the audience should be the congregation?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So when you come in, you almost don't feel like an audience member. You feel like I'm going to church.
Well, let's just say the pre-show speech that Matt will give will actually be underscored by a church organ, so it'll be like a church announcement.
Oh, that's awesome. So it's an event. That's super fun.
Exactly.
I'm just curious. So I'm someone who was raised in a very small church and then went to a mega church and then went back to a small church because I didn't like it. What is sort of the commentary on big churches versus small churches versus, you know, religion in general
I think
you might talk about afterwards?
Jay talks to him about this, you know, about him kind of getting this dislodging between he and his congregation. And that's why Joshua shouldn't be gone, because he's the one that's now taking over for him in terms of relationships with his congregation. And so kind of getting too big for your britches, is, you know, with churches becoming corporations, you know, and how does that effect.
It's not for everybody. And I was, like I said, I was raised in a smaller church, and that's when, you know, you really get a one-on-one relationship with the pastor. And then when you go to a mega church, it's still enjoyable, but it's not intimate. And mm-hmm. the pastors realize that, and they realize, you know, we have to make this an event to get to people that way. I feel like it's an entirely different style of pastoring.
Yes, and there's technology that helps with that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whether there are large scale monitors that so people throughout a larger church can be closer to the person who's speaking by seeing them sort of on a larger scale. And whether or not that is then broadcast outside of the building itself, there are whole stages of that kind of consideration. But I will say that there is something very potentially powerful about looking around a room and seeing thousands of people that you basically are in resonance with. And that's something you don't have at a small
church.
Yeah,
right? there's pluses and negatives.
Yeah, so I think one of the things that's interesting is you have a real sense of brotherhood, sisterhood across a whole large group of people. The people speaking, whether it's the pastor or associate pastor, they may be leading it and maybe they may be talking, but you're also in among a huge group of people. And I think that is, I think that's something very, very critical to whether these churches are successful, is how bonded those people feel together.
Absolutely. Good point.
I think a lot of this show kind of deals with that struggle between personal and private versus public, and just the inherent difficulties that come with having a church that and most churches are going to be about it. It's something that is so personal to every person. Their religious beliefs, their faith is something that is so personal to them. But in these circumstances, it always has to be public in a way. And especially for those who are in leadership positions, it's finding that balance and trying to figure out, okay, when I am having questions of my own, what does that mean for the church that I'm portraying myself for? What does it mean? What does it mean to have a conversation with someone who is then going to have control over what the church is going forward with, what projects the church is going forward with? And I think something that's really cool that's included in the script, and so it's part of the convention of the show, is that all of the conversations are always mic'd. And they're not mic'd in a way that everyone has got a headset mic on, but each of the characters is consciously holding a mic in every scene, which I think is a really, really cool commentary on how everything truly ends up public in these types of issues, because
right.
Word gets around. Word always gets around in these circumstances, because when someone says something and it affects the church, well, it affects the whole church, and they're all going to find out one way or another.
Right. That actually happened at my church when I was probably in middle school. We had a pastor who in private told one of the parishioners, you know, I don't really believe everything that I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And the parishioner was like, wait, what? Like, you're the one preaching this. And he got let go because the right or wrong people found out about it. And they're like, sorry. That never set well with me, I guess, because, you know,
it's happening at the highest levels of one of the largest Christian religious sects in the world right now, without giving away too much, but you know, it's happening right now. And so this is not a new idea, I think, in churches, but what it does is it shows us how one little tweak of a belief can alter the course of something. And then where does hope and faith come in to save the day? And I think that's kind of, you know, Pastor Paul's story, you know, where he talks about, you know, maybe the church doesn't die as a result of the choice that he's made. Maybe it more
just evolves.
Changes.
Yeah.
And I would say that if one of the core beliefs, certainly of what it means to evangelize, is to spread the word.
Mm-hmm.
And not that I want to get into a theological or religiously based conversation specifically, but
but
having a large church, a large congregation, means that if you think about the ripple analogy, right, you're creating a larger ripple that potentially continues to spread outward. And if part of one of the main activities of a particular church organization is to spread the word aggressively and get as many people as possible exposed to the good word, that's one way, I think, in which a megachurch succeeds at a scale that is unthinkable 100 years ago.
Absolutely.
And I actually think is one of the critical things about this play is, what does it mean to spread the word? What does it mean to... in spreading the word, what things do you sacrifice and what things do you have to keep in check in order to balance what it takes to spread the word with the good of the word itself? And that actually is part of what triggers this shift that we encounter.
So what things do you sacrifice?
It's like anything else in life. It's when two different beliefs affect marriage, when two different mm-hmm. beliefs affect friendship, when two different beliefs affect business relationships, it's the same exact thing. So, you know, how do you hold on to the human connection in spite of that? And that's really, you know, the basic concept that Lucas Nath is trying to put out there. And he just decided, I want to do it in a church because I think a church is a great place to stage a play. You know?
Mm-hmm. And that's super timely because there's definitely, you know, people with different beliefs out there that we still need to get.
And what's interesting is there is no reference to social media in this show, or nobody pulls out any cell phones. It's human to human conversation, contact, connection. And it shifts. I think what's brilliant about this play and why I think it's Pulitzer possible, or it should be anyway, should have been, is because it peels away all the other crap right now that's going on in the world and says, okay, people, how do we connect when we disagree? And that's what's really cool about it. That's what's so timely and special about it to me.
And I think betrayal is a huge part of this, betrayal between the congregant and the pastor, betrayal between a man and his wife, betrayal of friendships. It's huge right now in this piece.
And not just betrayal itself, but perhaps more importantly, fear.
Is it betrayal?
Lack of trust or faith in your fellow human being, and the fear that they're going to break that.
Well, and for parishioners, you know, I don't know what the announcement is, but hearing that your pastor is possibly changing what he believes, you're like, okay, you're the person I look to for my beliefs. So now what
are you allowed to have?
What do I do?
Change of belief. Are you allowed to have a change of heart?
Because you feel like your pastor should be the person that's set, you know, in the straight and narrow way that is never wavering. Yeah. But they're also human, and
you're going to love this show.
I'm so freaking excited for it. I just want to watch it right now. Great.
I want to say, like, kudos, serious kudos to the actors, because they put in the work early on. And so that allowed us to really have fun working together to try to find all the nuances of this show. And, you know, that's a real treat as a director to have actors that work that hard along the way and still have lives and all the other stuff that goes on.
And you did say it's not a very long play. It's about an hour and a half.
It's an hour and a half, give or take a few minutes. And, you know, I think it's one of those that'll be over and you'll be like, oh, I want more. So hopefully you will leave them wanting more.
Great. This is a random question. Do they ever mention a denomination in it?
Nope.
No.
You think that's on purpose? Cool.
Because it doesn't matter.
No, I mean, whatever.
It's irrelevant.
Yeah. Agreed, because that happens in
although every... if Methodists want to bring hot dishes, we're open.
Yeah, can have a potluck after the show. You know,
it's the one thing missing from this show.
We do have that two-show Saturday.
There you go. That's right.
So have a potluck in between.
In fact, it could be a battle of the Lutherans and the Methodists. Oh,
as a Lutheran, I make some mean meatballs.
Yeah,
okay. That's funny. Okay, well, hey, this was The Christians. Again, opens Friday, April 13th, runs through the 22nd at the Come and Go Theater down at the Des Moines Social Club. Parking is super easy down there. I just park in the Wells Fargo parking lot right east of there. It's free, as far as I know.
Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally free. Just enter on Mulberry, and you're good to go. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thanks for listening to Des Moines Backstage. Remember, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn Radio. If you'd like your production to be an episode of Des Moines Backstage, you can send us a message on our Facebook page. Thanks for listening.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines Backstage.
Backstage.
Des Moines Backstage.
Des Moines Backstage.
Des Moines Backstage.
The Central Iowa.
The Central Iowa.
The Central Iowa.
Theater Podcast.
The Central Iowa Theater Podcast.
The Central Iowa Theater Podcast.
Des Moines Backstage.
The Central Iowa Theater Podcast.
Des Moines Backstage.
Des Moines Backstage.
The Central Iowa Theater Podcast.